The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Episode 165 of the Read to Lead podcast is brought to you in part by Cloud Accounting Software FreshBooks with a 30-day free unrestricted trial just for you. Visit freshbooks.com/read to lead and enter Read to Lead in the How Did You Hear About Us section.
From a personal perspective, I had spent 34 years in some kind of mentally abusive, controlling, manipulative relationship.
Welcome to the Read to Lead podcast with Jeff Brown. Jeff believes that if you desire to achieve true success in business and in life, then consistent and intentional reading is a must. The Read to Lead podcast will not only help you narrow this ever-important reading list, but also bring you key insights and valuable feedback from some of today's most successful and inspiring authors. And now, here's Jeff.
Hi there, you have found the podcast that is dedicated to your personal and professional growth, where leadership, of course, gets our focus, but we also find time for topics like personal growth, productivity, career, business, marketing, sales, and entrepreneurship. You are in for a treat today, because in just a moment, we're going to be joined by video podcast pioneer turned live video streaming teacher, Luria Petrucci. I'll be asking Luria to fill us in on how getting it wrong means you're just one step closer to getting it right, why being true to who you are is key to your long-term personal growth, your simple next step to making live streaming video work for you, and much, much more. And you know, live streaming video is just one example of how the internet is impacting work. The internet has allowed more people like Luria, like myself, to become self-employed professionals, small business owners. Many of us are more connected, we're more autonomous, and working in jobs that could not have been imagined even just a few years ago. Maybe that's where you find yourself, or maybe that's where you long to be in the not-too-distant future. Today, one in three Americans is self-employed, and that trend is growing. By 2020, that group could well be over 40% of the U.S. workforce. Why do I tell you this? Well, it's because the world, despite what I've just told you, is not quite ready for this change. One of the exceptions is cloud accounting software FreshBooks. They are among the innovators who've stepped up to provide a new solution for freelancers and small business owners in this rapidly changing market. As ahead of the curve and awesome as FreshBooks is, it's not very expensive at all. In fact, for 30 days, it's absolutely free. That's right, you can try it free and get access to all of FreshBooks features for 30 days. All you have to do is go to this URL, freshbooks.com/read to lead. When you get there, be sure and enter Read to Lead in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Again, that's an unrestricted free trial, 30 days, all the features. Just go to freshbooks.com/read to lead. Well, in the history of this nearly four-year-old show, I have never brought on a guest who hasn't written a book. Oh, no. Luria, you haven't written a book, have you?
Not yet. It's coming. I guess. It has to now.
Well, not necessarily. I am making an exception today, but you may be thinking, well, there must be a good reason for Jeff making an exception. You'd be correct in that assumption. The reason I'm making an exception in Luria's case is because of the impact that her work has had on me. That's one of many reasons, actually. And I'd love to tell you a bit of that story, if I may, if you'll indulge me for just a moment. I began listening to podcasts way back in 2007. And one of the first I ever heard, and in this case watched, was a show called, and I hope I'm going to get the iteration right, GeekBrief.tv, I think was first.
Yes, that's correct.
Hosted by Luria, who went by a different name at that time. We'll talk a little bit about that later. In fact, I almost slipped up and called her by that name just a moment ago.
I heard you utter the cut.
I cut it off there. But I was working for a traditional media company at the time, and seeing Luria do her thing with no fancy studios, you know, she wasn't represented by some network or other media company, no broadcast towers. That was totally eye-opening. You know, we take it for granted today. Everybody and their brother has a platform or a personal brand they're trying to build. But in 2007, at least to me, this idea that everybody is the media and the media is everybody hadn't yet permeated the landscape, right? And so it was the first time I ever remember Luria thinking anything like, maybe that could be me one day. Maybe I could do my own thing, or maybe I could give myself permission instead of waiting to always receive permission. So fast forward 6 years to 2013, Read to Lead is launched. So if you have any affinity for this show, and I can only assume you do since you're here, then at least one person you need to thank is Luria. So I'll go first.
Aw.
Thank you for the impact you've had on me way back in ways I could only realize years later.
Jeff, you are awesome. Thank you for that. I didn't do anything, but I was, but I'll take it. No, the reason that I started, it was really just because I was interested in exactly that same thing. The fact that the big boys didn't have all the say and the power anymore. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really have anything to say myself. I didn't think at the time, at least. And, turns out I did. And, you know, it kind of grew from there. But I was just like, this is cool.
So to give you a little bit more insight into what Luria does today, she helps you, and I'm hoping here in the near future, helping me create professional live streams that put you a notch above what everybody else is doing and helps set your brand apart. Very much how I like to view the coaching and mentoring that I do in the podcast space, as a matter of fact. And over 11 years, Luria has created 3,500 videos, a billion views. She's been asked to share her expertise on shows like CNN and Fox and NBC, MSNBC, all the BBCs, the NBCs. I get them all mixed up.
All the letters.
She's worked with top brands. You've heard them, AT&T, Samsung, Bausch & Lomb. And at livestreamingpros.com, she and David have helped Orange County Choppers and GoDaddy start and grow their live streaming shows, and can help you take your business to the next level. So let's talk about the very beginning. Let's go back again to 10 or so years, because today so many people still, I think, Luria, struggle with getting past the fear and doubt about their own abilities when it comes to this stuff, even though there are hundreds of examples of others all around them doing what they want to do. And so I'm fascinated to understand what gave you the courage to step out at a time when it seems like there was almost nobody doing what you were doing. I mean, you were a bit of a trailblazer, weren't you?
Yeah, looking back on it.
It didn't seem like that at the time.
No, of course not. At the time, I really... like I said, I just thought it was cool. And I didn't know any better, to be honest. Like, I was just like, I was geeking out on the technology is really what it was. And as soon as I realized that it had some legs, which was pretty immediate, as in like very immediate. Like I launched my first show December 23rd, 2005. And, you know, very immediately within that first week, I had like 2,000 subscribers. Mm. And I was getting shut down from my hosting provider because back then you had to actually pay for bandwidth. as soon as I realized that, I was like, oh, well, I don't do anything without going in like over 100%. Mm. So if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it to the fullest of my ability and past that, you know, and try and figure out what I don't know. So I just decided at that point, well, this is a business and let's do this. So,
well, what do you attribute that sort of meteoric rise to? You mentioned that things took off really, really quickly. I believe you were even getting sponsorship interest a few months in and that sort of thing. What do you attribute some of that to?
Honestly, I can't attribute any of it to me. Mm. All it was the fact that I was early. No one else was doing it. And I feel very much, I know this is going to jump the gun a little bit, but I feel very much right now in the live streaming space that is very mirrored of what happened back in 2005 for me and some of the others, you know, over between 2005 and 2007. So you know, I was the first one out of the gate. I was early. And not only was I early, but I was pushing boundaries. Like you said, I was doing the higher quality stuff, and I wasn't having the investment or the studios that the big boys had. And so, you know, my experience is the more you push quality and the more you do things that nobody else is doing or that very few people are doing, especially in your industry, it makes a massive difference in the success. And we are in the same exact situation right here and now with live video. So it's pretty incredible to watch.
Oh, that's great. I would be curious to know sort of what you were feeling at that time, if you can recall, psychologically, maybe even emotionally, as sort of your star began to rise, if you will. You kind of became a overnight sensation, it seemed. And so what was that like for you? Those early opportunities that came along, the relationships that you built, the community that you were able to build as a result of that?
First and foremost, it was scary as hell. I didn't know what was going on. you know, I remember the first time I did a video and I called my mom crying because I thought I was so terrible at it. nobody else thought so, apparently. So let that be a lesson to us all. Yeah. We really do not view ourselves like other people do. So, you know, it was a very scary time because I was stepping outside of my comfort zone. I was extremely shy. Nobody believes me when I say that now, but I was. And, you know, that was very much outside of my comfort zone. But my strength is that I love people. I love to help people, and I love talking and learning from people. So that served me very, very well. And I was able to quickly grow that community and build industry relationships with all of the other podcasters doing, you know, even audio still at that time, right? And then also video as time moved on. And it was, I mean, it's an incredible experience because I knew I was building something. I had no idea what I was building. In reality, I knew I was kind of trying to do something, but I didn't know what it was going to turn out to be. And I think that's fairly normal for anytime you do something outside of your comfort zone, because you don't know where it's going to lead you. Like, I had absolutely no idea in a million years that I would be good on camera or that people would like to hear me actually speak. Like, I had zero self-confidence in myself. I had no idea that there are skills and talents that were housed in this body that, you know, was just hiding, apparently. And I discovered that as I pushed myself outside of comfort zone, and I continued to do that over and over and over the years.
You remind me of that diagram that I've seen, I think, on Facebook recently. You've probably seen it too. There's a circle, and one circle's labeled where the magic happens, and it's and then there's this other little circle over here, separate from the bigger circle, that says your comfort zone.
Yes.
I'm a proponent of just, you know, there's, you know, life isn't worth living if you're not constantly pushing yourself outside your comfort zone. I think that's great that you did that.
And, you know, in terms of like the building of the relationships and stuff, like one of the most important relationships I built early on was Leo Laporte, and your audience, you know, we may not know that name here, but tech godfather.
Yeah, good word for it. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, he's been a very, you know, important staple in the tech community over the years. And the way I built that relationship was by stepping outside my comfort zone. I wanted him to know who I was, just because I knew that would take my business to the next level. And so I called in his radio station, and I can't explain how nervous I was, but I did not want to do it. I was trying to talk myself out of it, but I called anyway, and I just bit the bullet. And on air, on his radio station, he was like, oh, I'm going to use my old name here because that's what I was going by. But he was like, Callie Lewis, I know you. I'm like, wait, what? And because of that single call, like, yeah, cool, he knew me, but he wasn't reaching out to me. I had to reach out to him. And then after that call, I got an invite to host his TV show with him. And I was like, what? Okay. Yeah. I don't know how to do that, but sure.
Wow. You know?
And so that's just one example of like how important it is to step outside of your comfort zone, because you just don't know what's going to happen.
Well, you mentioned the name that you used to go by. I'm somewhat familiar with this and maybe did it for different reasons than you. I don't know. We'll find out in a moment. But coming from traditional radio, I've worked with a lot of people who change part of their name or all of their name for one reason or another. If you're willing to share, I'd be curious to know why you chose to go by another name and then sort of how that evolved over time.
Yeah, honestly, my ex-husband, now husband at the time, when we started that, he was like, people aren't going to, we need to choose a different name. Like, people aren't going to be able to pronounce your name.
It's like Arnold Schwarzenegger. We can't.
Well, yeah, nobody knows how to pronounce my name. Let's be honest. I probably wouldn't have thought of it myself, but he was like, oh, let's go by a different name. And then it sort of over the years kind of crafted into a personality.
Mm.
It was all fine at first. Like, it was just a name. But then I was kind of pressured by several people around me to, be very, very Cali-ish, which meant always happy all the time, no matter what, no alcohol, goody two shoes, which I was when I was a kid, so it was easy for me to do that, and I'm not like a troublemaker by any means, just personally, but there were some stipulations around that name. Mm. And he, kept kind of pushing those stipulations, and especially over the years, it just became very burdensome.
Somebody you didn't feel comfortable being, right? It wasn't you.
Right. I had to protect myself at all times in order to create or to keep this image. If I went to a social gathering, a podcaster meetup or whatever, like, I couldn't be seen with wine in my hands. I drink wine. I'm Italian. I've been drinking wine since I was a kid. So, let's be real here. It just became, just kept going and kept getting more and more and more burdensome. And let's, realize I was early 20s. I think I was 24 when I started, if I have the math correct. And so early 20s, I still was very, very young in maturity. Mm. And I couldn't grow. So I couldn't be who I was going to become. And we all know everybody grows over time and they change. I just found, and this only happened a couple of years ago, where I was fed up with it so much so that I just left that name behind. Mm. It was in the middle of a partnership split in terms of the business. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to be me. I'm just going to shed that. It's going to hurt me. I don't care. I have to let it go. Because I kept trying to grow even with the name. Mm. And it was just a bubble. It was just this protection bubble. That's the only way I could describe it.
And what I learned later in my radio career, the last 13 or so years I spent with the same company up until about 2013. And it was all about authenticity. You were encouraged to just be who you were, warts and all. And lo and behold, we discovered that, guess what? When you do that, people are drawn to you because of that authenticity.
It's amazing how much people can actually tell past that veil that you try and put on. Oh, we all do.
Totally. Well, let's talk about the transitional times. Eventually, there was burnout. Just a tough season. Can you shed some light on that?
Yeah. So you mentioned that you had watched Geek Brief. Well, that was the first iteration of the show. Then I was going through a divorce at the same time that the partnership that I had for the business ended. Mm. In 2010, I went into business with another partner, and that lasted for 5 years. And that turned out to be not a good situation at all. I'm just gonna, because I'm an honest person, and I'm TMI. But from a personal perspective, I had spent 34 years in some kind of mentally abusive, controlling, manipulative relationship, whether that was my stepfather, whether that was my now ex-husband, whether that was my now ex-business partner, so I never knew what it was like not in that kind of like controlling environment. I realized that at like 34, I'm like, wow, this is a little old to be realizing this. But my, I had met a friend, name is David Foster, and he's now my boyfriend, but like he just kind of like opened my eyes because he just fully accepted me for me. And I was like, oh, this is what that looks like. Cool.
Finally at 34, I found it.
Yeah, I didn't know I was looking for it even. But I did know I was unhappy. A whole world had kind of opened up to me, and I, you know, tried to keep the business going, and it was, there was so much money being spent, you know, way too much, grew way too quickly, too many employees, you know, the whole, you've heard this story before, right? And there was, it was just bleeding so much that there was no recovering from it. Tried. It wasn't happening. And then finally, I just was like, okay, this is, everybody's going down if I don't get out now. Like, everybody. And in this case, I can at least save some people. And so I had to break away from that business. So then there were like, you know, this had happened kind of a couple of times, the transition. And I, at the same time, was kind of burnt out from talking tech, because that's what I'd done for 10 years. And I just, I wanted to teach. I wanted to, I was becoming aware of this whole market of education-based content that I had no idea was even a thing. And I was like, yes, I love helping. I want to do that. I have so much knowledge in this head from 11 years of experience now, you know, that I wanted to kind of like pour that out. So that's kind of how I transitioned and what I chose to do. And I, it really was starting over because the audience was different. My name was different. I lost a whole lot of people. They were like, where'd you go?
What happened to Callie?
Yeah. So, but you know, I am so glad, even with all of that, I'm so glad I did it because I grew as a person and I grew as an entrepreneur. I've learned so much over the last couple of years about just trusting my own instincts.
And I think one lesson you took away from that is that it's okay to get it wrong sometimes, right?
Yeah, I've gotten it wrong a lot.
Well, I hear you. I mean, this isn't exactly the same thing, but I was telling somebody the other day, you know, that they saw me as this kind of super successful award-winning radio guy who's now got this successful podcast. And I said, do you realize that with one exception, I was fired from every radio job I've ever had? And they're like, no way. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the nature of the business. I got it wrong so many times. When I first got into radio at 21, I thought it was God's gift to radio. So yeah, I had some growing up to do myself. I understand about getting it wrong.
And, you know, I spent a whole lot of time worrying the fact that, you know, like my ex-business partner, when things were going downhill, he was like, you'll never be able to do this without me. And I, you know, I believed him for a moment, and I knew there was not truth to that, but I wasn't really sure. And so every time I quote unquote failed, I had to move past that voice in my head too. And I did. And that doesn't even affect me now, but it was a struggle because it, not only are you dealing with just the regular like entrepreneurial or business kind of like, oh man, I got it wrong. This sucks. And now I have to figure it out. I was also dealing with that extra crap, you know, that was kind of in my head. And so it's been an incredible kind of journey to say, I don't have to get it right. I don't need it to be perfect every time or the first time or whatever. It's an ever growing, it's an ever evolving thing, whatever that is. And now I realize that everybody does it. Like everybody is evolving. Everybody is going through the same stuff, you know, it's changing and learning and making mistakes and growing. So that's been a pretty cool lesson.
And so now you found what is the, I'll call it sweet spot of teaching. And I'm thinking about this, and you're right, it makes so much sense. Who better to teach in this field than somebody like you who has all these, you know, decade plus experience, the billions of views, the 3,500 plus videos, all these different amazing clients. And I want to talk a little bit about what you and David have put together in regard to livestreamingpros.com. And kind of selfishly, I'm asking that question, Luria, because in the last few months, I've been thinking more about getting outside my comfort zone a little bit more and doing more video, doing more live streaming video. One of the reasons I got into radio was so that I could hide, you know, I got to stop doing that. So explain this, if you will, livestreamingpros.com, and then also what you've got on the horizon.
You should get out there and you should get outside of your comfort zone because, you know, live video is prioritized now. Mm. Like, and not only is it popular, it's needed in this day and age. Everything is going towards video and live. So it's really important that you don't hide anymore because you have an awesome personality and people need to hear that. People need to see that. People want to connect to you. And I'm just going to ask the audience right here and now, if you don't mind me taking over your show.
I love it.
Comment, give him some feedback. Like if he actually put his face out there, would you join his live streams? Would you connect with him on a deeper level? I have a client who had a podcast for many, many years. And, you know, the moment that he put his face out there on live video, they were like, yes, like this is what we've been waiting for. You know, this is just a different connection level. So anyway, comment, let him know, please. So what we help do is really strive to help you kind of put your best foot forward. Like, I think the interesting thing about live video right now is that everybody thinks it's different than anything else they do in their business. We all are marketing our businesses. We all are like trying to push forward. And this is purely, it's a relationship builder, but it is a marketing channel. We all put so much effort. You put so much effort into the quality of your podcast, right? Like that's very important to you. And a lot of people are just like, meh, when it comes to live video. I think it's a mistake. And I'll just be 100% honest here again. When I went through that transitional period, I also was like, meh, when it came to my production and when it came to the content I was putting out, I was just burnt out. So I was like, I just need to take a break. But I didn't take a proper break. I just kept going and not putting out quality video. And it hurt me in a big way. I want people to understand that when it comes to live video, it's really not different than any other marketing you do or any other thing that you're doing in your business or life. You're putting your best foot forward, and that's going to make a huge difference.
I completely agree. We've got one chance really to make that first impression. And I'm a big believer that anything worth doing is worth doing well. And the thing that has served me better than anything else I've ever done, and I tell this to all my clients, is excellence with consistency, doing your absolute best and doing that consistently is the single best thing you can do for you, for your business, for your personal brand, whatever that is.
Absolutely.
Well, shed some light, if you would, on this live streaming quiz, livestreamingquiz.com. What is that about exactly?
Yeah. So the website is livestreamingpros.com, but the quiz is at livestreamingquiz.com. And this is really geared to help you understand where you fit in the world of live video. Mm-hmm. So what kind of live streamer are you? And just a quick overview, there are four levels of live video. One being the mobile phone. It's what I call the selfie stream. Mm-hmm. Super raw, super personal, super human. Great to do. But there are some ways that you can actually make it more professional and more put your best foot forward, and even if you're just using your phone. Mm-hmm. And then level two is the phone plus some gear, mobile plus. Level three, going live from your computer, adding some graphics, doing side-by-side interviews, having just more professional type of video. Mm-hmm. And then level four is what we do and what people like, we set up Michael Hyatt's studio to do this, and like it's TV quality. He's now going live every week with his live show. You know, it's really cool. So it's top TV quality stuff that you can do a lot with, including what I'm kind of calling next level webinars. Like these things are incredibly personal and you're visual as opposed to just having voiceover on slides. So there's a ton that you can do on level four, but that that quiz is to help you understand where you should kind of start with live video. And at the end of that, once you figure out kind of who you are as a live streamer, then you can take a challenge, a 5-day challenge at that level to actually implement all of the stuff that I teach.
So it sounds like then taking that quiz is step one into figuring out kind of where you fall and maybe mm-hmm. what your comfort level is and understanding what you need to do to get your feet wet so that you can ease into the entire process and not be overwhelmed by. Is that
absolutely
accurate? Awesome. Well, Luria, I watched a video of yours today about why live video creators, live streamers need to read. And I would love to hear from you maybe what are one or two of your sort of go-to books, your favorite books over the last few years that have had maybe the biggest impact on you.
Yeah. So Essentialism was massively, is a game changer for me. I am not, if you're not familiar with the book, which probably most people are at this point, but if you're not, then it's kind of about learning to say no. Mm. And I am terrible at saying no. So that was a huge, had a huge impact on me and in my business. I'm reading like a couple of books. One is Michael Port, Book Yourself Solid, I think it's called.
Yes, yes.
And also, I don't know who it's by, and it's not beside me at the moment, but it's about Profit First. It's called Profit First, and I can't remember who it's by, but it's kind of a game changer in terms of finances and the way you run your business. And then personally speaking, I read Michael Hyatt's book. That's all about creating a life plan so that you're not just living life and you're actually creating a life that you want. That was big for me. And I'm going to have to reread that book a few times. So yeah, those are just a few that I've been reading.
Now, would you believe that every author of every book you just mentioned has been on this show?
I wouldn't believe that, actually. That doesn't surprise me at all.
Well, this has been a real treat, Luria. From that first time I got that 5th-gen video iPod from my wife on her anniversary and turned it on and started looking for podcasts, and there was this geekbrief.tv, and now here we are talking on my own show. Who would have thunk
that
10 years later we'd be doing this?
Well, thank you for making an exception for me. I feel like awkward, but awesome.
Here's the thing. I appreciate you saying that, but I mean, the reality is that authors are awesome too, but not everybody who is doing awesome things has also written a book. And the best example I can think of right now of somebody doing some really awesome things is you.
Oh, you know how to play it. That was sweet. And I think I probably will write a book sometime soonish. It's kind of in my head.
Yeah, you certainly got a story there. We'll use this episode as an outline for your future.
Ooh, I like it.
Well, Luria, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jeff.
When Luria one day publishes her book, you'll be able to say you heard about it here first on the Read to Lead podcast. For all the links and resources relevant to my conversation with Luria, including where to find out more about her, is available at readtoleadpodcast.com/165. That's the show notes page for episode 165. Do you have a 5-star rating and written review for the Read to Lead podcast just waiting to bust out of you? If so, you can go to readtoleadpodcast.com/iTunes or readtoleadpodcast.com/Stitcher. Thank you to LEHH in iTunes, who calls Read to Lead a fantastically curated reading list in podcast form. And Dallas says, better late than never with 5 stars. Wow, I'm really late to the game here. I just discovered the Read to Lead podcast and I'm hooked. Well, I'm glad, Dallas. And if you need a new accounting solution, remember our sponsor, FreshBooks Cloud Accounting Software, with that free 30-day unrestricted trial. Just visit freshbooks.com/readtolead. Well, that's going to do it for this go-around. I look forward to seeing you next time for the next episode of the Read to Lead podcast.
Thanks so much for listening to the Read to Lead podcast. As a subscriber, we challenge you to be more than just a passive listener. Become a vital member of the community. Visit us on the web at readtoleadpodcast.com. Until next time, remember, leaders read and readers lead.